Anyone ever go to a gun show? Go to a gun show? No? Maybe? Okay. If you ever went to a gun show, you would find some enthusiasts, experts, people who are experts in guns, you know. They'd be happy to tell you all about the history, all about the science of firearms, the basic principles of physics. They'll teach you about it. Primitive weapons, they'll teach you about it. Manufacturers, they'll teach you about them. The history of like the improvements in engineering and science and design and development of better materials, better techniques. You'd find that they'll talk to you about it. They love talking about it. If you were to go to a museum that had sort of medieval weaponry, or if you went to a Renaissance fair, you'd also find people very happy to tell you and explain to you all about the weapons. The development of swords and the difference between a long sword and a foil and a, you know, broadsword. They could explain the importance of the balance of the sword, or the reasoning of the length of the blade from one particular instrument to another. The size of the grip, the style of the hilt, the techniques for carrying it and wielding it, they'll talk to you about it. They're history buffs, or they're sword enthusiasts, they'll talk to you about them, all of that. You would also get an appreciation of the artistry and the craftsmanship involved in making them. It isn't just the bare science of making a functional sword or gun, but you'd also see all the intricate etchings on the barrels and of the guns and on the hilts of the sword and on the blades of the sword. So you would get all of that. You'd get the cold science and the physics of it. You'd get the sort of the warmer appreciation of the artistry involved in it. And yet, despite all of that, we must not forget that these are weapons, and there's always a little bit of sadness associated with weapons, with the necessity of weapons, that their very existence is in some way sadly necessary for living in our world. Why do we need to have weapons? This all is going to Isaiah, the reading we heard from Isaiah, by the way. But why do we have to have weapons? I think that the reason we have weapons is because we have babies. Advent is a time we look forward to Christmas. We've got one month to go in a 9-month pregnancy. We've got a 9-month Mary walking around waiting to give birth. And it's at least a man's instinct, I know that much, to want to protect the vulnerable. We have a natural desire to protect, you know, a pregnant woman or a baby, you know. Even if they're not ours, even if they're not our babies, even if we don't know best how to take care of them, there's still an instinct to take care of them. So we make weapons just in case we have to defend, protect our families. The question is, and this goes to that first reading from Isaiah, should we prefer a world where weapons don't need to exist? Not that they don't exist, but where they don't need to exist. Should we prefer a world where there is no need to study the science of weaponry, or even the artistry of weaponry? Should we prefer or long for a world where we don't need to have an expertise in war, where people become experts in it because it's something that needs to eventually happen, perhaps, or in the case it happens? Should we prefer a world where the craftsmanship of making tools that bring about the injury and death of another is necessary? Perhaps we should prefer it. Isaiah prophesies that world will exist at some point. But this is not the world that we have currently. This is not the world we have. Isaiah says there will be days to come when the nations will have no fights with each other, and that all their weapons will be turned into gardening implements, you know, growing tools. You take swords, you make them into plows and rakes and trowels and such. But we're not there yet. When it happens, there's a certain poetic justice about that whole process of making swords into gardening or farming tools. First of all, if you go to the fair, the state fair, you will find people more than happy to talk about tractors and the style and the development of farming implements and rakes and hoes and all that fun stuff. You know, the benefits of John Deere over another sort of tool or machine. And yet, there's a poetic reversal to it in that originally, the earliest weapons were often repurposed farm tools. They took, you know, their sickles and their shovels and their whatever, and when they needed to go to battle, they would grab those and go to battle with them. Gardening tools being needed to be used as weapons, and Isaiah is prophesying the time when the weapons will be turned back into the gardening and the farming equipment. The gardening and farming equipment are tools that cultivate life, that help things to grow. And yet the weapons are things that cause things or people to die, leading to destruction, even if it is simply in self-defense. Right now we live in a world that requires both. It's just the nature of it. How do we keep them in balance, though? How do we do more creating than destroying? How do we know how to keep destruction in check? How do we try to imitate God, who is the creator, even in spite of there having to be times when destruction, even in defense, is just a reality of our world? Well, we arrive at this peaceful world not by immediately destroying all of our weapons, because that would leave us defenseless, but instead by moving toward God, by leading others to God as well. This is why Isaiah says, all the nations stream toward the Lord, stream toward Jerusalem. The closer we get, the closer we all get to the one God, the fewer weapons we will need, because we'll all be closer. And he means that not just physically closer, but more alike to each other, because we've all gotten more alike to God. We'll become less distant from each other. Unfortunately, we stream in all sorts of different directions. We're not all streaming towards God. Not everyone is streaming towards God. Some people stream away toward like radical Islam, which is often more weapons and destruction. People stream towards stores on Black Friday, and they spend all day in the mall. And they really stream right in. And the more we belong to one of these streams, you know, you flow down a stream, it's hard to get out of a stream. You are always having to go in some way with the flow. The current will take you to where the river wants to take you. But then again, that only really happens to dead things. Dead things stream, go with the flow. We are living things. We can fight against the forces and the currents of the stream. We can find a different destiny than the one predetermined by the river. You fall in that river there and you're going to end up in Philly. It's just the way it is. Unless you are alive. Unless you have a choice and can stream and can navigate your way out of it. What stream then do we belong to? Do we stream to our favorite news pundits? Pundits. People stream for pundits. It's good. And our favorite news outlets, our favorite whatever, politicians or political gurus of the day. Or do we stream towards the Lord? Do we listen to the ever-changing cultural trends? You know, you need to have a different set of, the music changes, you know, within 6 months, and the top 40's out, and there's a new top 40 in. Or do we listen to the Lord's words in the scriptures and in the long-standing tradition of the church that doesn't change very frequently or at all. This may be difficult to avoid falling into one stream and to consciously place ourselves in another, in the one that's leading to God. But it could be as difficult as repurposing a handgun to be a trowel, but it is possible. Today we start Advent, and this is our time of expectation, of belonging to that stream that leads to Christmas, and of getting closer to it each day, each minute, each hour. As we move towards our celebration of Jesus' coming at Christmas, we've got to be ready to fight the currents that might want to take us to other places. And in order to fight, we have to have weapons. We don't yet live in a world prophesied by Isaiah where we don't need the weapons. And weapons aren't just physical. We have spiritual weapons as well. We have other weapons that we could use. But we also know that we're going to be ending up at that prophesied place where there aren't need for weapons. So we have to be armored, be prepared. As Paul talks about in the second reading, throw off the works of darkness, put on the armor of light. But it's so that we can make sure we can arrive safely at the place that Jesus has prepared for us. That we arrive safely at Christmas, all prepared for what's going to happen, and we arrive safely prepared for Jesus' second coming, and we're safely prepared for arriving into heaven. Because then, amidst all the darkness that the world has to offer, we can reflect the true light that comes into the world at Christmas. We will have been already, and we will be already to receive and to arrive at that light, that sunrise, that dawn, that where that star leads us, and where that star leads the Magi, and where that star leads us to that cradle in Bethlehem. May we arrive there prepared and all together in one piece.